Day 80, Numbers 32, 1 through 33, 39. Now the tribes of Reuben and Gad owned vast numbers of livestock. So when they saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were ideally suited for their flocks and herds, they came to Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the other leaders of the people. They said, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Eleleh, Sebam, Nebo, and Beon, the Lord has conquered this whole area for the people of Israel. It is ideally suited for all of our flocks and herds. If we have found favor with you, please let us have this land as our property instead of giving us land across the Jordan River. Do you mean you want to stay back here while your brothers go across and do all the fighting? Moses asked the Reubenites and Gadites. Are you trying to discourage the rest of the people of Israel from going across to the land the Lord has given to them? This is what your ancestors did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and scouted the land, they discouraged the people of Israel from entering the land and the Lord was giving them. Then the Lord was furious with them, and he vowed, Of all those I rescued from Egypt, no one who is 20 years old or older will ever see the land I solemnly promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they have not obeyed me completely. The only exceptions are Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they have wholeheartedly followed the Lord. The Lord was furious with Israel, and made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the whole generation that sinned against him had died. But here you are, a brood of sinners, doing exactly the same thing. You are making the Lord even angrier with Israel. If you turn away from him like this, and he abandons them again in the wilderness, you will be responsible for destroying this entire nation. But they responded to Moses, We simply want to build sheepfolds for our flocks, and fortified cities for our wives and children. Then we will arm ourselves and lead our fellow Israelites into battle until we have brought them safely to their inheritance. Meanwhile, our families will stay in the fortified cities we build here, so they will be safe from any attacks by the local people. We will not return to our homes until all the people of Israel have received their inheritance of land. But we do not want any of the land on the other side of the Jordan. We would rather live here on the east side, where we have received our inheritance. Then Moses said, If you keep your word and arm yourself for the Lord's battles, and if your troops cross the Jordan until the Lord has driven out his enemies, then you may return when the land is fully subdued before the Lord. You will have discharged your duty to the Lord and to the rest of the people of Israel, and the land on the east side of the Jordan will be your inheritance from the Lord. But if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Go ahead and build towns for your families and sheepfolds for your flocks, but do everything you have said. Then the people of Gad and Reuben replied, We are your servants and will follow your instructions exactly. Our children, wives, flocks, and cattle will stay here in the towns of Gilead. But sir, all who are able to bear arms will cross over to fight for the Lord, just as you have said. So Moses gave orders to Eleazar, Joshua, and the tribal leaders of Israel. He said, If all the men of Gad and Reuben, who are able to fight the Lord's battles, cross the Jordan with you, then when the land is conquered, you must give them the land of Gilead as their property. But if they refuse to cross over and march ahead of you, then they must accept land with the rest of you in the land of Canaan. The tribes of Gad and Reuben said again, Sir, we will do as the Lord has commanded. We will cross the Jordan into Canaan fully armed to fight for the Lord, but our inheritance of land will be here on this side of the Jordan. So Moses assigned the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, the territory of King Sihon of the Amorites, and the land of King Og of Bashan, the whole land with its towns and surrounding lands. The people of Gad built the towns of Dibon, Ataroth, Aror, Atroth, Shophan, Jazer, Jogbahan, Beth Nimrah, and Beth Haram. These were all fortified cities with sheepfolds for their flocks. The people of Reuben built the towns of Heshbon, Elileh, Kirathia, Nebo, Baal Meon, and Shibmah. They changed the names of some of the towns they conquered and rebuilt. Then the descendants of Machir of the tribe of Manasseh went to Gilead and conquered it, and they drove out the Amorites who were living there. So Moses gave Gilead to the Machirites, descendants of Manasseh, and they lived there. The people of Jair, another clan of the tribe of Manasseh, captured many of the towns in Gilead and changed the name of that region to the towns of Jair. Meanwhile, a man named Nobah captured the town of Kenath and its surrounding villages, and he renamed that area Nobah after himself. Numbers 33. This is the itinerary the Israelites followed as they marched out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. These are the stages of their march, identified by the different places they stopped along the way. They set out from the city of Ramses on the morning after the first Passover celebration in early spring. The people of Israel left defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians. Meanwhile, the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn sons, whom the Lord had killed the night before. The Lord had defeated the gods of Egypt that night with great acts of judgment. After leaving Ramses, the Israelites set up camp at Succoth. Then they left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. They left Etham and turned back toward Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon, and camped near Migdol. They left Pi Hahiroth and crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness beyond. Then they traveled for 3 days into the Etham wilderness and camped at Merah. They left Merah and camped at Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. They left Elim and camped beside the Red Sea. They left the Red Sea and camped in the Sin Desert. They left the Sin Desert and camped at Dophka. They left Dophka and camped at Elush. They left Elush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They left Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They left the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hattaava. They left Kibroth Hattaava and camped at Hazeroth. They left Hazeroth and camped at Rithma. They left Rithma and camped at Rimmon Perez. They left Rimmon Perez and camped at Libna. They left Libna and camped at Russia. They left Russia and camped at Kehilath. They left Kehilath and camped at Mount Sepher. They left Mount Sepher and camped at Harada. They left Harada and camped at Michaloth. They left Michaloth and camped at Terath. They left Terath and camped at Terah. They left Terah and camped at Mithka. They left Mithka and camped at Hashmana. They left Hashmana and camped at Mosroth. They left Mosroth and camped at Ben Jekan. They left Ben Jekan and camped at Hor Haggidid. They left Hor Haggidid and camped at Jotbatha. They left Jotbatha and camped at Biran. They left Biran and camped at Ezon Geber. They left Ezon Geber and camped at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. They left Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor at the base of Edom. While they were at the foot of Mount Aror, Aaron the priest was directed by the Lord to go up the mountain, and there he died. This happened on a day in midsummer, during the 40th year after Israel's departure from Egypt. Aaron was 123 years old when he died there on Mount Hor. Luke 4:31 through 5:11. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. There, too, the people were amazed at the things he said, because he spoke with authority. Once, when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon began shouting at Jesus, "Go away! Why are you bothering us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent from God." Jesus cut him short. "Be silent," he told the demon. "Come out of the man." The demon threw the man on the floor as the crowd watched. Then it left him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess! Even evil spirits obey him and flee at his command." The story of what he had done spread like wildfire throughout the whole region. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's house, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. "Please heal her," everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he spoke to the fever, rebuking it, and immediately her temperature returned to normal. She got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed every one. Some were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he stopped them and told them to be silent. Early the next morning, Jesus went out into the wilderness. The crowd searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other places too, because that is why I was sent." So he continued to travel around preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. Luke 5. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets, and you will catch many fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again." And this time their nets were so full they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the size of their catch, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Psalm 64:1-10. O God, listen to my complaint. Do not let my enemies' threats overwhelm me. Protect me from the plots of the wicked, from the scheming of those who do evil. Sharp tongues are the swords they wield. Bitter words are the arrows they aim. They shoot from ambush in the innocent, attacking suddenly and fearlessly. They encourage each other to do evil and plan how to set their traps. "Who will ever notice?" they ask. As they plot their crimes, they say, "We have devised the perfect plan. Yes, the human heart and mind are cunning." But God himself will shoot them down. Suddenly his arrows will pierce them. Their own words will be turned against them, destroying them. All who see it happening will shake their heads in scorn. Then everyone will stand in awe, proclaiming the mighty acts of God, realizing all the amazing things he does. The godly will rejoice in the Lord and find shelter in him. And those who do what is right will praise him. Proverbs 11:22. A woman who is beautiful but lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout.